Hold up your open hands to your eyes and frame your view of life. Photographer Jeff Fricker has done this and recorded the cultural reflection that water has contributed as a resource, utility, and recreational marvel. Today's segment is part of the series titled, Water is a Many Splendid Thing. Hello, I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water. Jeff's passion for photography and his chosen subject matter seems to have developed from his early years growing up. Creativity runs deep in Jeff's family.
I love nature. I love water. I grew up on the American River as a kid. I spent, you know, hundreds of hours on the river fishing, snorkeling for crawdads, you name it. We were down there all the time. I think a lot of my art is really informed by that relationship to the American River as a young child. My father was quite an established photographer. He's a radiologist by profession, but quite well known as in the photographic circles. Eventually that rubbed off. You know, I remember him working in the darkroom as a young child. I can remember the print washer going. We actually got in the darkroom together and helped make Christmas cards, usually developing and processing like in the old days. My mother probably was the most into water. Her painting, she was a painter and very watery landscapes. He also very much liked the river and that area. We had horses, we spent time down there, and a lot of his photographs were around the river there. But he was into animals, flowers, rocks, you name it, but he photographed just about everything he could find. But the river was central to all of our lives there because we were right on the river, on the bluffs overlooking the river.
Jeff's curiosities always take hold of him through the lens of a camera. The history of why the landscape is sculpted with its unique forms draws him in. He many times discovers evidence of past decisions of society, good and bad.
I think what really has also prompted me was the recognition of the fact that water typically goes where gravity pulls it, and the land itself is formed in a certain way. And so you have what's called a watershed, and in that watershed you have life. And then we move a lot of that water out of that watershed for farming, and then sometimes to deserts for golf courses. And there's only so much water we have. And there are these watersheds that have been here for millions of years, where the salmon have been coming up for tens of thousands of years. Or we're sometimes kind of not thinking about the long-term situation and what might happen, like what has happened. And I think what really did prompt me to kind of get involved in this was having kind of found out what did happen in the San Joaquin and how the aquifers dried up there and there was land subsidence and land dropped huge amounts. And so I'm just hopeful that we learned from that lesson and won't do the same thing here. You know, there's so much history around water, and I guess geologically you could go all the way back, and that's what I'm real interested in, but also hydraulic history and how riparian forests are formed because of water movement through space over time. And it's just kind of an amazing thing. I experienced these kind of jungle-like spaces on the American as a kid, and I noticed they had similar kinds of things on the Sac, that only bigger because it's a bigger river. But then I never understood why it was that way. But more recently, you know, as a photographer, you take photographs and you kind of wonder, what happened? How did it get this way? And there is a history to riparian forests and how they're formed. And a lot of that has to do with the meandering of the river and how it wanders. That's what's mind-boggling. You know, 60 million years ago, this was an ocean floor. And then not too much longer, then the Sierras came up, you know, and then I don't have all the dates in the back of my head. But when that happened, then all the ocean went away. And then you had this water coming down out of the clouds. And you had this watershed created from the mountains. And over time, you had all these different life forms getting established.
Water in our environment continues to amaze Jeff. Its presence is limited, yet its occurrence is varied. As for life, water is the most essential element.
There's only so much water in the universe. There's on the globe, and it's either in a gas, liquid, or ice form. And you can store more water and maybe keep it longer, but you can't create more of it. And certain amounts of it are needed in the rivers and the creeks in order for all the life that has depended on that water for millions of years. Certain amounts have to be there. And the other thing, I could go on and on about water. The other thing about water is that there's surface water and there's groundwater. And they seem to be talked about as if they're different, but they're all the same. What is on the surface goes down into the ground. And if enough water is taken out of the ground, the creeks will dry up and become ephemeral. And these are concerns that concern me, because I think a lot of our legacy has been from the gold mining, where get rich quick and, you know, not looking at the long term is still kind of in our DNA, if you will. Water is like gold today. It's a resource, and it's very, very critical to making money, but it's also super critical to all life. So I think all living things need water. So I think it's a big question, you know.
Jeff offers his visual works as statements with many messages. Probably the most important one is his attention of the need for society to discover sustainable methods for managing land use and its interaction with water. Fundamental to our lives and environment? I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water.